So now that this is a class, let's turn in our Bibles, amen, to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. First of all, I'd like to thank our pastors for the opportunity to stand before you and teach this subject of healing. It's one of my favorites. Well, everything else is too, but this is something that the Lord's placed on my heart for tonight, amen? Psalm 145, are you there? I'm going to be reading from the King James Version. Please read along with your version. Let's look at verses 8 and 9. Are you there? Okay, class, let's read. The Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger, and of what? Great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over what? All his works. Amen? Now, let me read that same version. Let me read that same passage in another version. Amen? In the Message, it says it this way. It says, God is all mercy and grace, not quick to anger, is rich in love. God is good to one and all. Everything he does is suffused with grace. You hear that? Now, let me read it in the God's Word translation. It says it this way. It says, the Lord is merciful, compassionate, patient, always ready to forgive. The Lord is good to everyone and has compassion for everything that he has made. Amen? Now, let me read one more. The Holman Christian Standard Bible says it this way. It says, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, and great in faithful love. The Lord is good to everyone. His compassion rests on all he has made. Amen? Now, in that passage, what are we talking about? God is what? What does it say? God is what? He's gracious. The Lord is gracious and full of what? Compassion. Slow to anger and of great mercy. Tonight, what we're going to talk about, because I know probably some of you are saying, well, what does that have to do with healing? And the truth of the matter, everything. So tonight, we're going to talk about the compassion of our Lord. Amen? Are you in Psalms? Turn to Psalm 78. Because I want to paint a picture of this. And then we're going to go on from here. Amen? Psalm 78, look at verses 35 and 38. Now, in this passage, it's giving reference to Israel, the nation of Israel, and their dealings with God. And it talks about, we'll see it here as the psalmist writes about it. In verse 35 of Psalm 78, he says, and they remembered, referring to Israel, that God was their rock and the high God their redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. You hear that? That's God's covenant people. For their hearts were not right with him, neither were they steadfast where? In his covenant. Now get a picture of that. Here is God, who is full of compassion, right? And of great mercy. Here is Israel, his covenant people, saying, Lord, we'll do this, we'll do that, and they lied. Right? They backed out on him, right? But look at verse 38. Did God get angry? Look at verse 38. But he, being full of what? Compassion, did what? Forgive their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all of his wrath. Are you getting a picture of God? Turn to Psalm 86. Psalm 86, the 86th Psalm. 86th Psalm, and look at verse 15. The psalmist says this, David, he says, but thou, O Lord, are a God full of what? Compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and in truth. You hear that? Now go one more area. Let's go to a few more areas. Psalm 111. Psalm 111, the 111th Psalm. Okay, the 111th Psalm, and look at verse 4. Are you there? Let's read. He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. What does it say? The Lord is what? The Lord is gracious and what? Full of compassion. Say that with me. Say, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Okay? Now go to Psalm 112, the next psalm over. Psalm 112, look at verse 4 and listen to what he says here. Let's read it. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness, right? But he is what? Gracious and what? Full of compassion. Now, who do you think he's talking about? Our God. Our God is what? Gracious and what? And full of compassion. Okay, that's what he's saying there, right? And righteous, right? Now, from these scriptures in the Old Testament, we see that God is a God that is what? Gracious and what? Full of compassion, right? And of great mercy. Now, in the Old Testament, that word compassion, when you see that word, there's many meanings of it. But the one for tonight I want you to look at is the Hebrew word raham. That's R-A-H-A-M. Now, what that word means, raham, what it means is this. It means to have compassion or to be merciful, to pity. Okay? In other words, and then it says it this way, the verb of that, the action of that, to have compassion, to be merciful and pity, is really to display love. So when we think about our God, right, we want to think about him as a God that is what? Love, gracious, full of compassion. Right? Now, God used this word when he was speaking to Moses. Remember when he was talking about him from face to face, God was interacting with Moses. He referred to the compassion. Remember when Moses said, I want to see your glory. And what did he do? He hit him in a rock, right? And what passed by Moses? His goodness, right? But really what it was, that goodness was really God's love. So I want you to get in your mind right now, the God we serve, he is a God that is what? Gracious and what? Full of compassion and mercy. Okay, keep that in mind as we go further in this. Now, in the New Testament, right? When we're going to look at this word compassion in the New Testament, it takes on this type of word. Now, one of the meanings is this: it's eleos, E-L-E-O-S, eleos. That's a combination of both raham. And in the Old Testament, one of the names for love is Hasid, right? That talks about a covenant love, right? So Ilios is a combination of those two, right? In other words, to love, to have mercy, all right? Keep that in mind. Now, the question I said earlier to you is this. What does this have to do with healing? What does compassion have to do with healing? What does it have to do with it? Everybody's quiet. Everything. That's the answer. Everything. Now, F.F. Bosworth, right, in his book, Christ the Healer, he says this. Now, keep this in mind. It's not what God can do, but it's what we know he yearns to do. So I want you to think about this. God yearns and he loves everyone, right? Because that's what it said in the scriptures. His compassion is towards everyone, right? So God, does God love the sinner? Yes, he does. Does God love the prison inmate? Yes, he does. Does God love the Christian righteous person? Does God love the person that's dealing with infirmities in their body? Yes. Okay, very good, very good. Now, listen to this. He says, let me read that one more time. It's not what God can do, but what we know he yearns to do, that inspires faith. That's what F.F. Bosworth said. In other words, faith. Really, let's put it this way. Compassion is who God is. It's him. So if you ever want to know compassion, God, okay? It's who he is. His mercy is his extension of who he is, right? But now keep this in mind, right? I want you to follow this. The Lord is gracious. In other words, he is disposed to show favors. You got that? So I want you to get this in your mind as we talk about healing in this class, or as we talk about ministering healing to people. There could be someone out in that street that's a raunchy person, mean person. The media can say he's so bad or she's so bad. But don't you know God's mercy and compassion is towards them? So I want you to think in your mind. Think about somebody that you think in your terms could be a despicable person. But I want you to understand this. God's mercy, God's compassion is towards that individual. Okay? Now, let's turn to one more place in the Old Testament. Then we're going to look at some examples in the New. Turn over to Micah. Micah chapter 7. God is what? Full of compassion, right? And of great mercy, right? So let's turn to Micah. And I'm like you. I got to look in my Bible here. Where's Micah? This is one of my new Bibles. I don't have my tabs. Oh, here it is. Micah chapter 7. Turn to Micah chapter 7. And let's look at verse 18. Are you there? I'm not there yet. Okay, I'm there now. Are you there? Okay, let's read this together. Now, this is the prophet Micah. Let's read what he says. Who is a God like unto thee that does what? That pardoneth iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retaineth not his anger forever because he does what? He delights in mercy. Do you see that? God delights in extending mercy. See, some of us don't delight in it, but he delights in extending mercy, right? Now turn to another passage of scripture, a familiar one with us. Turn to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. Are you there? Okay, I'll wait for you to get there. We're talking about the compassion of our Lord, okay, in, as it relates to healing. Amen? Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, let's see what is said here. In verse 9, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself what? Strong in behalf of them whose what? Whose heart is perfect towards him." Now, I'm just going to leave it right there. So the eyes of the Lord. So let's say it this way, just for time's sake here. The eyes of the Lord in this passage is really talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit goes back and forth. What is he looking for? Those what? He's looking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose what? Heart or what? Perfect towards him, okay? So keep that in mind, right? Now, in the Old Testament, we're looking at the Father's love, right? And the scriptures I gave you just up until this point, I hope it painted a good picture for you to understand who the Father God, who our Father God is, even in the Old Testament. Because some people say, well, in the Old Testament, it was the law, and, you know, God did things under the law. Well, he did. But still, he was, even under the law, he was full of mercy and full of compassion. Everyone see that? Do you think he changed? No, he didn't, right? Okay, good. Now, in the New Testament, here's what I want you to see. In the New Testament, we see the God who's full of mercy, full of love, full of compassion, personified in a person. And who's that person? His son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So now, let's turn in our Bibles. Turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, verse 14. And I like to say it this way. When we think of in the New Testament, God's compassion is in action is through his son, Jesus Christ. Amen? So let's turn to Matthew chapter 14. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 14, and look at verse 14. Are you there? Now let's look at Jesus. And Jesus went forth and saw what? A great multitude. And what happened? He was what? Moved with compassion toward them. Okay, hold it. He saw the multitude, right, Jesus? He was what? Moved. Motivated by what? Compassion. But then what did he do? Did he just leave it there? What did he do? He healed their sick. Why? Because the Father is full of mercy. Full of compassion. It made no difference what that multitude did, but he was moved, he was motivated by compassion. Compassion put him into action, right? But here's what happened, and what did he do? He healed them. Now here's what I want you to remember this. Remember this, for those in need of healing, it is always the Father's will, and we see his heart in the scriptures that we just examined tonight, that it's the Father's love. He wants to see you healed more than you want to be healed. It's his love, but his love has to be received. And how is it received? By faith. That's what John said in the epistles. He says, you know, receive the love of God, but before you can receive it, you have to do what? Believe the love. Let me ask you this tonight here in this audience. How many of you believe God loves you? Okay, put your hands down. Good. How many of you have received his love? Now, here's what happens sometimes in Christian circles. People get confused. See, because they think when it comes to healing, it's like a pass or fail. They enter in with a pass or fail mentality. When you're going to minister to somebody in healing, the first thing we must always do is tell them how much the Father loves them. You know, it's something about when you tell people how much, I mean, people will argue left and right. They'll argue over our doctrine. They'll argue over, well, should you baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit? If you don't speak in tongues, you're not a Christian. Everybody will argue over everything. Wearing white on Communion Sunday, right? People will argue over everything, right? But one thing people will not argue with, I'm talking about in the church or in the world, nobody can argue with the love of God. If you tell them, God loves you and I can prove it, that scares the daylights out of them. And I did that to one person one time. I said, you know what? God loves you and I can prove it. You want me to prove it to you? And he's looking around like something going to hit him, right? I said, I can prove it to you. And we can prove it to them. John 3:16. For God does what? That he did what? Now I asked that person, are you in the world? And he goes, yeah, I am. Well, then God loves you. See, so number one, it's very important that we tell people that God, the love of God, that God loves them. Because love is what? A form of what? His compassion. So Jesus in this chapter was moved with compassion, and what that compassion moved him into action. But here's the thing I want you to always remember. Compassion moves us to action, but we must always act in faith. Does everyone understand that? Faith is vitally important. Okay? Now let's go back to another passage of scripture. Turn over to, before you turn there, let me read this in the Passion Translation, Matthew 14:14. So when Jesus landed, he had a huge crowd waiting for him. Seeing so many people, his heart was deeply moved with compassion toward them. So he healed all the sick who were in the crowd. Now, let me give you another point of what was said there. Jesus just didn't turn on healing on and off, okay? It's not, oh, Jesus, because this is what I thought when I first got saved. Well, Jesus can heal anybody because, after all, he's Jesus, he's God. He can touch anybody, they get healed. But here's what happened. That compassion stirred up the anointing. Jesus, remember, he was a man like you and I. When we see him in the Gospels, the Bible says in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. And what did he do? Go around doing good. Doing what? Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? Because God was with him. But here's the thing. Jesus didn't have an on switch with healing all the time. But if it's, notice here, it says moved with compassion. That compassion brought that healing anointing. So when that anointing came on him, he healed everybody that was there. You got that? Okay, now let's look at another passage of scripture, okay? Turn over to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. We are talking about the compassion of our Lord. Amen? Mark chapter 1. Look at verse 40. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. And this is the leper, the account of a leper, right? Are you there? I'll wait for you to get there. I turned my bottle the wrong way. Hold on. Okay, Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Now, this is the account of Jesus with the leper, right? And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, what? If thou will, thou can make me clean. Now, I don't know, sometimes we always gloss over this passage, but I want to just show you something here. What was a leper? What was the characteristics of a leper? How would we know someone was a leper? Have a what? He had to say he was unclean according to the law. But what else? What else? Even if he didn't say that, what else? His skin. What about his skin? It's breaking off. Breaking off. And what about flesh that's decaying? Stinks. Smells. So this man is coming to Jesus. Now here's what happens with some of us. You know, because I grew up in New York City, and Robert can attest this on the train. A homeless guy comes in there, and you know, he ain't took a bath in I don't know how long. When he hits that train and gets in that compartment of that train rocking back and forth like this, everybody trying to get away from him, right? Right? So I want you to think about this. This man that was a leper, pieces of him could have been falling off. His nose, his ear, his hands, his fingers. But he came to Jesus doing what? Beseeching him, asking for something. Now notice, what was Jesus' response? Let's go back here. What did he say? The leper says, if you will, you can do what? Make me clean. Look at verse 41. Read it with me. And Jesus moved with what? Compassion. Remember I said, compassion moves us to action. Compassion moves us to action. When we move to action, we get the unction to function. You got it? So now Jesus did what? He said something first, right? He said, Jesus moved compassion. He put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will be thou clean. And what happened? Immediately, as soon as he had spoken, the leprosy, what? Departed from him and he was cleansed. Amen? But I want you to see compassion move to action, okay? Do you see that? I want you to see it. I don't want that to be overlooked. Now, let's go to another passage. Go to Mark's gospel. I mean, not Mark's. Let's go back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Okay? And let's look at verses 29 and 34. Matthew chapter 20, 29 to 34. Once again, this is Jesus, an account, right? And let's pick it up at verse 29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. Keep that in mind. And behold, how many men? Two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying what? Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. You hear that? Now listen. And the multitude did what? They encouraged them. What did? They rebuked them because they should have held their peace. But they cried the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. Now, here's something interesting to remember. Those two blind men had more sense than that multitude following him. The multitude was following him for what they were seeing, right? The two blind men couldn't see, but they knew who he was. They knew what to do. They said, have mercy. Why? Because the Lord is what? Full of mercy. And they said, thou son of David. Now that term, son of David, you know what that meant? Messiah. So they were crying out, Messiah, Messiah, have mercy on us. But the multitude said what? Be quiet. But they said it again, right? But let's see what happens. Did they get Jesus' attention? I think they did, right? Now, let me pick it up here. Then Jesus stood still and called them and said, now notice what he said. What will ye do? What will ye that I should do unto you? In other words, he's asking, what do you want me to do for you? You got that? Faith? No, in other words, he's trying to locate them. He's locating them. Jesus already knew by the gifts of the Spirit operating what their situation was. But he wanted them to locate themselves. He says, what is it you want me to do for you? You know, and sometimes this is what we have to do when we're ministering to the sick. Just don't be so quick to see something and say, okay, I'm going to lay hands on it. Ask them what you want to know. What do you want God to do? There's nothing wrong with saying that to them because you got to locate them. You got to locate them because some people are wishing and are hoping. Well, I'm hoping that something will happen. But when you stop and say, what is it you want the Lord to do for you? So they did. They said that we may what? Have our sight, right? And they said unto the Lord that our eyes will be open. Now look at verse 34. So Jesus had what? compassion on them. Once again, that compassion does what? Moves us to action, right? The compassion moves us to action, but then also we have the unction, which is the anointing to function. So he had the unction to function. He touched their eyes, and what happened? Immediately their eyes received sight, and what happened? They followed him. Now, for time's sake, I have some other passages here. Let me read the Passion translation of that, because I thought it was interesting. Listen to this. This is the Passion account of those verses. As Jesus approached Jericho, an immense crowd gathered and followed him. And there were two blind men sitting on the roadside. When they heard that it was Jesus passing by, they shouted, "Son of David, show us mercy, Lord." Those in the crowd scolded them and told them to be quiet. But the blind men screamed out louder, "Jesus, Son of David, show us mercy, Lord," right? So Jesus stopped and had them brought to him. And he asked them, "What do you want me to do for you?" Remember, I just said that, right? And they said, "Lord, we want to see. Heal us." Jesus was deeply moved with compassion toward them. So he touched their eyes, and instantly they could see. Jesus said to them, now listen to this, very important. "Your faith has healed you." All the people praised God because of this miracle, and the two men became his followers from that day onward. Amen? Now, let's look at something else. Remember I told you, compassion moves us to action. Turn to Mark chapter 5. Now, this is going to be an interesting one. I'm not throwing you a curve, but I want you to see this. Turn to Mark chapter 5, the Gospel of Mark chapter 5. Because when I first was going over this, I said to myself, what does this have to do with healing? Because as I was studying, as the Holy Spirit just brought me here, and I said, well, what does this have to do with healing? But we're going to find out it had everything to do with it. Mark chapter 5, and let's look at verse 19. Let's start at verse 19. Are you there? Now, in this account, what's happened is Jesus and his disciples have come over to the other side. They came into the area called the Gadarenes, right? Now, let's see what happens here. Let me take a look at my verses here. Yeah, so now, in this account, this man was demonically possessed. He was wandering where? In the graves. And it said that he would break chains. Nobody could hold him down. He was a wild man, right? But he was demonically possessed, right? So Jesus, right? Jesus, you know, ministered to him and he was delivered, right? Remember the spirits came out of him, went into the pigs, right? But now let's look at the account after that, right? Look at verse 19. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed or asked him that he might follow him, right? But listen what Jesus says to this man that was delivered. Howbeit Jesus suffered or told him or allowed him not, but said unto him, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee, and had what? Compassion on thee." Now notice what it didn't say, because sometimes we read it this way. I cast the demon out. Go and tell everybody how I cast that demon out, Jackie. He didn't say that. Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said, go tell your friends how much what? The Lord had what? Compassion on you. Now this man went. He went. Right? And look at verse 20. And he departed and began to publish where? In Decapolis, how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Now, listen to this. He went where? Decapolis, right? Decapolis is really not a city. It's really 10 cities. So the man went, because the man was in the Gadarenes, right? Gadara, right? This man went to 10 cities telling everyone what Jesus did for him, okay? I want you to keep that in mind, okay? You got that? Now, let's do this. I want you to follow this thread. Turn to Matthew chapter 15. Turn back to Matthew chapter 15. Keep in mind that man, that demonic man that was delivered, went to 10 cities and told the people about what? The compassion that God had for them, right? Now, look at Matthew chapter 15. And let's look at verses 30. Let's pick it up at verse 30 and 31. Okay? 15. Hold on. I think I got the wrong. Matthew 15. Okay, I think I got the wrong passage. That's not the passage I was looking for. Where is it at? Okay, hold on. That's Matthew. Let me see Mark. Just bear with me for a second. Turn to Mark 15. Mark chapter 15. I don't think it's there either, but Mark chapter 15. No, that's not it either. Okay, we'll put that on hold for a minute. The point I wanted to get to was the passage that said Jesus came to the multitude. He came to the city. But what it was, here's what I want to share with you. The towns that he went to, this man was already there. And this man was telling all the people what? The Lord had compassion on him. So in other words, and they knew who this guy was, right? Because word got out about him. So when Jesus came into their coast, they knew who he was. They knew he was full of compassion. So it was easy for people to receive healing. They received their healings. Multiple healings were done. And I want to find that scripture because it lists some of the things that happened. The maimed were made whole. You know, maimed means someone that lost a part was restored. Blind eyes were opened. The deaf were able to hear. The dumb were able to speak. But that was a result of this man going around and reporting all that God did for him. Okay, now here's what I want you to remember. Jesus demonstrated the Father's love and compassion in action with healing. Amen? Now to those that are in need of healing, know that it's the Father's will to have you healed more than you want, like I said before. It is his will. Now here's what's happened with some people. Some people think of healing as a pass or fail. They think, well, you know, it's what I did in my past and God is punishing me. Because you're going to run into people that have that mindset. You're going to have that mindset, I'm not worthy. You know, I'm not worthy. Or the other one is, well, God has given me this so that way I can learn to be closer to Jesus. God has never instituted sickness and disease to teach us anything. In fact, in the Old Testament, it was a result of disobeying the covenant. It was a curse under the law. But what happened? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The curse of the law was really threefold: poverty, sickness, and death. But we're talking about sickness right now. So anyone that has sickness in their body, God didn't give it to you. God did not give it. And people say, well, didn't it say in the scripture about the blind, about Lazarus, that this sickness, because Jesus said it, this sickness was not unto death, but for the glory of God? But if you follow really quick, you notice what he said. That situation, sickness, was for the glory of God. Because God was now going to demonstrate his healing power in raising Lazarus from the death. But sickness is not for the glory of God. But you're going to run into people that are going to be thinking that way. But what we have to do is tell them, no. God loves you. He loves you so much. Matter of fact, he wants to see you healed more than you want to be healed. And I remember Brother Hagin shared this when he was a pastor pastoring a church. He said he'd have Saturday night would be like his healing, you know, a special time where they have a healing class and service and they lay hands on the sick, right? What he observed was this. He said, when I had those meetings, the people that were the church people, the ones that were the committed church people that were sick, and he would minister the scriptures concerning healing, lay hands on them, they wouldn't receive their healing. He said, but the wayward people that was out in the byway and they would come in on Saturday night, getting ready to go back out again, they received their healings just like that. And one of the people in his church got angry with it and said, Pastor, you know, what's wrong with you? It seems like you lay hands on these people and they're raunchy people and they get healed, but I don't get healed. Why is that? And God already told them, because of their pride. See, and so what it is, it's an act of God's mercy. You don't have to earn it. It was purchased 2,000 years ago. Everyone got that? Now follow this through, because we're talking about how the devil has hoodwinked people. Amen? Now, here's something I heard somebody say. And I think it's very appropriate, and I want to say it this way. To those of you who will minister healing, remember this. We must minister to those in need of healing with showing them the compassion of our Lord. Because if you minister healing without showing the compassion of God, you're nothing more than a butcher. You know what a butcher does? Handles meat. So if there's no compassion in us, remember I said compassion does what? Moves us to action. That action, when we move to that action, there will be an unction, the function. And by faith, we have to operate in it. Let me give you an example. This is when I first came to this church many years ago, in the 80s, no, early 90s. My wife worked in the Bronx in a medical center. And I was just going to bring her the key because I was going to work. I was bringing her the key, and I was going to jump on the train and go to work. But when I went into the health center, it's kind of like seats like this, you know, room with seats. When I went in, her area was over here with her office and everything. I'm bringing her the key, but I looked. Everybody was like over in one corner. Everybody in that office was in one area. But then there was two couple sitting over here by themselves. It looked strange. So I went over to my wife, and I saw tears in her eyes. I said, sweetheart, what's the matter? She says, they diagnosed the young lady with AIDS. She's dying. She only have a few days left. So I'm looking, and I'm just dropping off the key to go to work. But then I said, oh, Lord. I said, man, that's bad. I said, Lord, what do you do? What should you do? You know, I was feeling bad about it, too, like everybody else. I said, Lord, what should you do? And I heard my spirit, go over there, share the gospel with her, and lay hands on her. Now, here's what I'm saying. You don't walk into people, you know, you just don't get up and, oh, I'm walking over there. So I said, okay, Lord, give me a way in. Give me a way in. If you give me a way in, I'll go over there. But when I looked, the husband, because the wife was on his lap on the chair, she was laying on his lap, and he had a Gideon Bible. I said, okay, that's my way in. So I walked over, I introduced myself, I asked her his name and her name. I said, I noticed you have a Bible there. He said, yeah. I said, can you do me a favor? He says, what? I said, can you turn to Psalm 103, first three verses. I said, read those. He read it. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who heals all thy diseases. I said, okay. I said, now also, you got the Bible. Okay, go to Psalm 130, verse 20. He turned there. He sent his word and healed them. I said, okay, now you got the New Testament, right? I said, turn to Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. And these signs shall follow them that believe, right? You know that. So anyway, I told him, I said, listen, I'm a believer. And I just share with you that it's God's will to heal your wife, Yvonne. I said, now I'm a believer, and this sign God says will follow. So I am authorized by God to lay hands on your wife. Do you want me to lay hands on your wife? He said, yeah, please do. So I asked his wife, Yvonne. I said, Yvonne, do you want me to lay my hands on you? She said, oh, yes, please. So I laid my hands on. Now listen, compassion moves us to action, right? Didn't I say that? Compassion moves you to action. But when you move to that action, there's going to be an unction to do what? Function. So all of a sudden, I'm not saying this because sometimes people hear one thing and think that's got to happen to you. It doesn't have to happen to you. All we have to do is what the Word of God says, lay hands on the sick. I don't wait for a feeling. I don't wait for a jig. I don't wait for electrical shocks. I don't wait for none of that. But what happened in this time when I laid hands on her, all of a sudden a heat came up from here, a heat. Like a burning heat came up this way. I thought it was like, you know, something with me. But it went up, went to the arm. I laid this hand on her. My right hand. The heat came up this way, went to this arm, came down this arm. And when it was getting right to her head, she jumped back. I said, no, it's okay. Stay right there. It's okay. Now, here's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that because that happened, that there was healing or not. I'm saying I just cooperated with God. So all I want to say is this, and without getting into all the other parts of it, they diagnosed her with, I think, like a month or something to live, a month, a few days to live. She lived longer than that. I'm telling you, she lived longer than that. Now, here, now I'm not going to go into all the other details because there was other things involved in it. But the point was this. I shared with her and her husband the love of God. Weigh in. Ministered. And then what happened when that all happened, one of the ladies on Valerie's job, one of the nurses, whatever, came by to her, old nurse, and said, "Who was that man that did that?" She said, "That was my husband." She says, "Oh, that just touched me so much. Because I remember when I was a little child in church, I heard the story about how Jesus had compassion and laid hands on the sick." Okay? So all I'm saying is this, compassion. Compassion. Compassion moves us to act. Say that when you say compassion. Moves us to action. Action brings the unction. That's the anointing. To function. Now I want you to understand this. See, here's what gets people crossed off. I've laid hands on people and felt nothing. I'm not supposed to feel anything. It's by what? By faith. So we don't go by jitters. We don't go by shakes. We don't go by if they go down and come up. Because I got news for you. I've seen people go down and come back up. Go down, come back up, and they're still the same. Okay? I've seen people. I'm telling you, I've seen people, they bring in a gurney, on a gurney. So this one guy, they brought in on a gurney. I was at part of the healing explosion years ago. They brought this guy from the ambulance on a gurney on the floor. All of a sudden, you know, we're ministering this way. All of a sudden, it's like somebody set fire on him. He jumped out of that gurney, took off running. I mean, I'm serious. He ran all around the Coliseum. It was in Nassau Coliseum. He ran all around. What happened? The anointing. So here's what I'm sharing with you, and here's what we're going to net it all in. Compassion, the compassion of our Lord. Every time you minister with that compassion, you are demonstrating the heart of God. God is not into judgment. You know, and I'll go back to the lady with the AIDS that had the symptoms of AIDS. Now, here's what happened with me. I went home, went to work, thought nothing about it, laid hands on her, thought nothing. This is before everybody knew about all this other stuff. You know, like they thought you could catch AIDS and it was a sin because of lifestyles. Listen, that ain't none of our business. Whatever people are living in, I don't walk up to people that are sick and say, "Okay, let me ask you, Jackie. You know, you're sick. You know, do you go to church? What church you go to? Do you drink? Do you smoke? You know, no, it doesn't make a difference. It doesn't make a difference." To God, it doesn't make a difference. Because remember, healing is always the dinner bell. The number one thing that God wants is their soul, salvation. Absolutely. I've seen one guy, and I'll share this with you because I got a few more minutes. When I lived in the Bronx, once again, there was a guy in our neighborhood, you know, like these, you know, these homeless guys that are drunk and hanging around. So this one guy was so bad in our neighborhood. I lived on Kingsbridge. This guy was so bad that I would see the police bring him in. He's in the store. They're arresting him. I see him go in the cop's car left and right. Then he's back out on the corner again, cussing everybody out left and right. So at that time, we were coming here to RLCC, and we didn't have a car, so we would take a cab with me, my wife, and our children to the bus stop, George Washington, come up here. So anyway, one Saturday night, my wife went to the store, and the guy called out to her. He said, "Hey, your husband, is he a minister?" And she said, "Yeah." "Tell him I want to talk to him." It's like 10:30 at night, right? So Valerie come in. Hey, Valerie said, "Hey, the guy out there in the street, he want to talk to you." So I went out there. He's in the, we're in a bodega. You know, y'all know what bodegas are, right? Okay. We were in a Muslim bodega. So that even makes it even more, right? Like little Muslim stuff and all that. So I'm in a Muslim bodega with this guy. The bodega owners are nervous because they think he's getting ready to do something again. They got to call the cops. So anyway, he asked me, he said, "Listen, you know, I see you going to church with your wife. You know, what's up with that?" And all that stuff. So anyway, the Lord told me real quick, share your testimony with him. And I did. I shared it briefly. I said, "Listen, before I came to Jesus, I used to smoke dope. I used to snort cocaine. I used to hang out, run around chasing women. I drank everything that was on the bar. I said, but I found out that when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, he turned my life around. And I'm going to tell you right now, there is nothing out in this world that can compare to knowing Jesus Christ. Do you want to know him right now? And he pauses. He's staggering. You mean right now? I said, yeah, right now. Here? I said, right here. Meanwhile, the Muslim guys are looking too good. They're getting ready to call the cops, right? So anyway, I led him in the prayer, right? He confessed Jesus as Lord. And I said, okay, now you're born again. The name was Norman. I said, Norman, now you're born again. For real? I said, yeah, you're born again. For real? I said, yeah. And I gave him a little tract, a little Bible. And I said, okay, now what you got to do, the next thing you got to do is find a church. I said, there's a lot of good churches. He said, where you go to church? I said, I go to church, Nanuet. You tell people in the city about Nanuet, they don't even know where it's at. They think it's another country, right? So anyway, I told him, I said, no, there's some churches here you can go to. But what I want you to do is go, when you go in, tell the pastor that you gave your life to Christ. And, you know, he'll accept you. So he went. So anyway, he comes back to me again about all these other things. So anyway, one time he comes to me again because he's drinking, right? So he says, Bill. They call me Bill. Bill, you know, there's something wrong. Doctor said I'm going to die. I said, what? Say, I got cirrhosis of the liver. His stomach was way out here, right? So I told him, I said, okay, Norman, listen. One of the things that you have a right to, as a born-again believer, you have a right to healing. I said, but now, here's what I got a word. I didn't know it even was a word of knowledge, but I got it from him. I said, but I'm going to tell you right now. God is not going to heal your liver so you can keep pickling it. You're going to have to stop drinking. For real? I said, you're going to have to stop drinking. Oh, okay. So I laid hands on him. And then while I'm laying hands on him, it's like a balloon. His stomach went down. Just like that. You follow? Why? Because God is full of mercy. Full of compassion. Now, Norman still has some other things, some other issues going on with his life, which I'm not going to go into here that he shared with me. But still, God was full of compassion. So that's why there's no such thing as a person who God can't reach. Okay? So the point I'm making, I want to get back to this. God is full of compassion. We who are ministering his word, ministering healing, we must do it from a heart of compassion. Because if we don't do it from a heart of compassion, you're nothing more than a butcher. If you don't have love for the people, you're nothing more than a butcher. And how many butchers do I have here tonight? How many people I have here tonight whose heart is filled with compassion? Now that compassion is going to do what? Move us to action. And when we move into that action, we'll have that unction to function. And what's that unction? The anointing. How many of you know each and every one of you have the anointing on you to heal the sick? How many of you know that? How many of you know that? Let me see, raise your hand. Okay. Some of you don't, but I'm telling you right now, you have the unction to function. You have the anointing within you. That, you know why? Because that's what it says in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, 18. These signs shall follow them, right? They shall do what? Lay hands on the sick, and what's going to happen? They shall recover. It's not our business. Here's what I want to share with you. It's not your business for them to recover. Our job is to share with them, first of all, the love of God. Second of all, share with them the will of God. And then the third of all, demonstrate that will of God and that love of God by ministering healing. Everyone got that? Does everyone understand that? And you know what? Once we lay our hands on them, I got a few minutes. I'll share this one. This is a funny one. Just recently up here, I went to visit our brother that's in the nursing home up there. And I was in the day room, right? So I'm ministering to our brother, right, from our church. He's a resident in there. And, you know, he's kind of like nodding in and out, like some of you do. But anyway, he was nodding in and out. But I started talking about healing. I said, why am I talking about healing to him? Well, he did need healing, but I started talking. All of a sudden, there was other guys at the table, like one old guy at the table sleeping. They had the TV on. The Price is Right is on. They're blasting it loud. And another guy here. So finally, one guy came over in a wheelchair, right? He was listening to what I was saying. Faith comes how? By hearing. Hearing what? Word of God. I was sharing with our church brother here the word of God concerning healing. This guy back here came over with his wheelchair. He said, hey, man, can I sit in here and listen in on this? Come on in, right? So I'm talking. I'm still sharing with them. And finally, I said this. I said, you know what? Everybody I lay hands on gets healed. When I said that, the guys who was sleeping, head popped up. The TV went off. Everybody came to the table. Everybody came to the table. No, I'm serious. But see, listen. You should say the same thing. Everybody I lay hands on receives healing. Say that. Everybody that I lay hands on receives healing. Now, here, now listen. That's my faith. That should be your faith. Now, what they do with it is their business, right? So this guy that I told you was in the wheelchair, he came up, he rolled closer. He said, lay hands on me, brother, lay hands on me. I laid hands on him. I said, you know, I prayed with him, right? He didn't come out of the wheelchair, but I said, do you believe you received? His tears running down his eyes. He said, yeah, I believe I received. I believe I received. The next month I came back to that place, he was gone. He was out. He was healed. Here's what I'm trying to say. Don't be moved when you lay hands on somebody, you don't see anything. And don't be moved by who you're going to lay your hands on. Okay? Because when we do this, we are doing what? We are demonstrating to this world Jesus. See, this world needs to see a demonstration of Jesus. They need to see more of Jesus and less of church folk. That's another message altogether. I'm not going to get into that tonight. But the world needs to see more of Jesus. More of Jesus. Say that. More of Jesus. Say this with me. Say, the Lord is full of mercy. The Lord is full of compassion. The Lord is good. The Lord is good to all. I am a follower. I am a son of God. I operate in the same areas that my Father operates. I am full of compassion. I am full of love. God's compassion moves me to action. When I move to action, I receive that unction. That unction is the function. I release that by faith. Everybody that I lay my hands on gets healed. Everybody that I come in contact with, they will know the love of God. Because they will see God's compassion in action in me. Amen. Are there any questions? We have a few moments. Is that okay? Right back there. I'll bring the mic over to you. Hold on. Did you get anything tonight? Okay.
Now, we know that God doesn't cause sickness, but does he allow it sometimes?
The answer to that, without going the long way, I'll be short with it, no. Because then he would be the author of evil. Every good, the Bible tells us in James, every good and perfect gift comes down from the above, from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness. In other words, he doesn't change his mind, nor shadow of turning. So it's not a matter, and I want to say it this way. Let me put it to you this way. It's when the disciples couldn't heal that boy that was mute, remember? And Jesus said, why he said they couldn't do it? Why? Lack of faith. But here's what happened. You know what they were all trying to figure out? Who sinned? Because remember, this is the culture they came out of. The Jewish culture and the Old Testament was, whenever there was a sickness, it was caused by something. They knew it was caused by something, but they didn't know what. Even down to Job, remember? Job knew something happened, but he didn't know who was the author of it. And that's why Job said what he said. The Lord what? Giveth and taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But then the Bible says this. In all of that, Job did not sin nor charge God foolishly. You know why? Because Job didn't know what was going on in chapter 2. When Satan came before God and said, you know, if you take this away from him and all of that. But we know better. We have John 10:10. And what did Jesus say in John 10:10? The thief comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. To answer your question, I'm going to say this. No, God is not the author of it. We live in a world that's imperfect. We live in a world that people sometimes could be born into something. But the Bible says this, for this reason was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So we've been called by God to destroy the works of the devil. You have the authority to speak to your son and command whatever. See, here's what I want to share. Come up here. Because I knew where you were going. Your son is perfect. There's no flaws in him. You are perfect. There's no flaws in you. We live in a world that's imperfect. So because we're in this world that's imperfect, things can come our way. But the good news is this, we have the authority. Your words are the final words. We just found out that God is full of compassion. He's full of mercy and love, right? The same way you love your son, your words are the final words. Don't let the words of this world be the deciding factor. Your son may be standing against symptoms in his body, but he is a spirit being. You talk to his spirit. I have a niece and a nephew. My niece grew up with cerebral palsy, right? One of my nephews, because I got a bunch of nephews and nieces, but one of my nephews grew up with Down syndrome. Do you know today that both of them are functioning individuals? My oldest sister, that's her youngest child. They told her back then in the 60s that this kid's not going to live long. He'll probably only live to a certain point of time. He's only going to learn and know so many things because of their studies. But my sister refused to believe that. And I know that's in you. Refuse to believe those types and tags that they give to our children. You speak life to his life. There's life in your son. And you've seen it. You've seen it. And I've seen it. So you keep speaking. We're going to keep speaking life to his life. So it makes no difference what his package was when he came here. He is a perfect being because he has been wonderfully and fearfully made. What I want you to do is hold up your hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, these hands are authorized by God to speak life into the life of her son. Father, I thank you from this moment forward that there'll be no more thoughts about, well, why did this happen? No, it happened, but guess what? The good news is you are victorious. He is victorious. There is victory in your household. Just continue to rejoice. And remember this, my sister, your words, mother's words are very powerful. Jesus' mother was at that wedding, and she turned to those people and said, whatever he says, do, do. She was at the cross when he was at that cross. Your words are powerful. Your words have great weight. Don't underestimate your words. Speak life to his life. Amen? Amen. All right. Amen. All right. Thank you.